Our reading is Old Maps No Longer Work by Joyce Rupp. I keep pulling it out, the old map of my inner path. I squint closely at it, trying to see some hidden road that maybe I've missed. But there's nothing there now, except some well-traveled paths. They have seen my footsteps often, held my laughter, caught my tears. I keep going over the old map, but now the roads lead nowhere, a meaningless wilderness where life is dull and futile.
Toss away the old map.
You must be kidding. She looks at me with Sarah eyes and repeats,
toss it away. It's of no use where you're going.
I have to have a map, I cry, even if it takes me nowhere. I can't be without direction.
But you are without direction. So why not let go and be free?
So there I am, tossing away the old map, sadly, fearfully putting it behind me. Whatever will I do, wails my security.
Trust me,
says my midlife soul. No map, no specific directions, no this way ahead or take a left. How will I know where to go? How will I find my way? No map. But then my midlife soul whispers,
there was a time before maps when pilgrims traveled by the stars.
It is the time for the pilgrim in me to travel in the dark, to learn to read the stars that shine in my soul. I will walk deeper into the dark of my night. I will wait for the stars, trust their guidance, and let their light be enough for me. When I first read this poem, I got chills. It presents a bold challenge, doesn't it? It suggests we stop clinging to the known, familiar ways of doing things and start afresh. It invites us to ignore the old, worn-out paths and toss out the old map, even though our sense of security may be threatened. And then it asks us to trust life. Trust life. Indeed, sometimes we're forced to throw out the old map. When loved ones die, or we lose a job, or we have to undergo a relationship breakup, or we have to relocate, or we're sick. After such dramatic changes, we have to create a new map and find our new form of guidance. I wonder, is there a place in your life right now where you feel lost or stuck? Or like you're going around in circles? A place where you've reached a dead end on your map? Where you have a sense that the old map just no longer works? I've certainly had maps that no longer work. Or has the map been snatched away from your hands by an illness, by death, or by a radical life change? If so, how do you find the new way when the path isn't evident? How does that guidance become clear without obvious directions or signs, without a guidebook or a GPS to show the way? Trusting life can be hard when the direction is unclear. Rupp reminds us that there was a time before maps when pilgrims traveled by the stars. Now, of course, we have the biblical tale of the wise men and shepherds being led to the baby Jesus by following the stars. And plenty of mariners since have also oriented themselves by the stars. And there's no doubt that the night sky is beautiful. I love to look up at it in awe, simply wondering about our universe. And it can be also useful in orienting our physical direction when we're out camping, right? But truth be told, personally, I've never followed a star's guidance during life's transitions. Have any of you? Rather, I've listened to my inner voice, my intuition, and the guidance of wise counselors. What's your compass during life's transitions? What orients you on your path? Is it your inner voice of knowing? Is it a higher power or God that guides you? Is it your reason and resilience that orients you? Now, those are some possibilities. Or do you rely on your friends and family or on your spiritual community to show you the way? Quakers tell each other, the way will open. They feel sure that by waiting and listening, the way will open and become clear. And the Persian poet Rumi agrees. He said, as you start to walk out on the way appears. Well, sometimes it does, and sometimes you only realize that it did in hindsight, because the way always does appear. During major transitions in my life or times of difficulty, I found solace in the words of 14th century religious recluse and mystic Julian of Norwich. Julian, who's a woman, was a spiritual hermit, an anchoress in Norwich, England, who committed to a prayerful life entombed in a cell next to St. Julian's Church. And apparently she went through a ritual where they actually cemented her into this cell next to the church, and she lived there for the rest of her life in deep prayer and contemplation, and also counseling people. And she's best known for her words, all shall be well. All shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. You'll see that on the front of your order of service. All shall be well. All shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Now, these words were apparently spoken to her on her presumed deathbed at age 30 by a vision of Jesus. And she survived this brush with death and later shared these visions and meditations in her book, Revelations of Divine Love. Julian is said to be the first woman who wrote a book in English, which also survived. So all was well. Revelations of Divine Love is considered an important historical and spiritual text, and in it, she speaks of God as a universally loving God and describes Jesus like the Great Mother, enveloping us in compassion and unconditional love. Julian was no stranger to loss and suffering. She'd witnessed 3 rounds of the bubonic plague in which she lost almost everyone she loved and nearly died herself. She lived in a time of great poverty, famine, and revolts. Yet nevertheless, she offers a message of hope and trust in divine love and life, a trust that was of great comfort to her, to those who met her, and many generations since. But all shall be well? Really? I mean, these words can appear naive these days, right? How can we say them with any certainty in the midst of climate devastation, our current political landscape, rampant poverty, violence, racism, and genocide? How can we be so sure when there's forced migration worldwide and children separated from parents and friends and family sick and dying? How do we realistically say all shall be well when life is such a struggle for many. Now, I've wrestled whether I can authentically say this phrase. When things just don't seem to be well or look like they're going to turn out well, it can feel like a hollow affirmation, an affirmation which I don't automatically just trust. And yet, I'm happier when I have faith in life, when I trust that humanity, my work, my relationships, my health, and life will find their way. Now, of course, I also realize that trusting all shall be well may be easier for someone inhabiting a place of privilege. With my own cisgender, heterosexual, white, middle-class privilege, it's a lot easier to trust that all shall be well, to believe I can trust in life. But for someone who's living with daily discrimination and fear, I'm guessing that internalizing such faith in life might be much harder. And what does being well actually mean? Does it mean we'll have no more suffering or pain? No more problems, worries, or fears? That things were going to be easy and comfortable? Well, that's a possibility. Or could being well have a deeper meaning, where we discover a sense of inner peace regardless of what's going on in the world around us or in our lives? An inner calm amidst the chaos, a deep connection to the spirit of life. Now, I think that seems more likely. Do you? Julian assures us through her writings that all shall be well is not a pointless phrase or a hollow hope. After all, she experienced all shall be well firsthand from what she thought was her deathbed, and all was well. She survived, as did her writing, and she feels passionately that there is a greater love embracing us like we just sang about. She has an inner knowing of a peace and calm undergirding all. No matter what loss or suffering we have to endure, no matter what pain we're undergoing, no matter how despairing or lonely or afraid we may feel, underneath it all, she assures us, there is a foundation of love and peace available to us. Indeed, it's often through suffering and difficulty, when we can no longer rely on our own will and control, that we come to find such a foundation of love holding us. She invites us to trust that we will be held, particularly in the midst of dissolution, when we might be tempted to despair or hide or flee in fear. She invites us to imagine looking up at those stars and thinking, all shall be well. And even if it's hard to believe, we'll have chosen a more life-giving, comforting thought than worry or fear, right? We'll be living from peace rather than anxiety. Constant worry and fear not only create stress in our lives, but can eat at our very souls. They can single-handedly destroy our peace and our clear thinking. In stressful situations, I have to ask myself, am I committed to well-being or fear? If I'm committed to well-being, then all shall be well is a comforting way to embrace life, whether or not things actually turn out well. And if we choose not to trust all shall be well, We make decisions and plans out of fear rather than hope and faith. In many ways, All Shall Be Well is a radical act of faith and hope. It's not based on certainty or on the maps we know. It's based on trust. Trust in something more than our problems, our worries, and our fears. Faith that the universe is ultimately benevolent. Faith that we are held in a ground of love. Trust that a new way will open. The Zen philosopher and Episcopalian priest Alan Watt said, "To have faith is to trust yourself to the water. When you swim, you don't grab hold of the water, because if you do, you will sink and drown. Instead, you relax and float." So how do we relax and float with life? How do we trust life? It may require letting go of our usual stories about how we think life should turn out. We may need to stop seeing transitions as an enemy, or viewing struggle or change as bad. Indeed, before we can throw out our old map, we may need to tell ourselves that all shall be well, even if we don't fully believe it, as a spiritual practice. After all, when things are really dire, what do we have to lose by trusting life, by acting as if all shall be well? No matter how much we try to control or resist what is happening, life continues to unfold. So it's our choice whether to surrender, to swim with it and float, or to fight and struggle with it. It's our choice. It reminds me of the many times I sat at the bedside of dying people as a hospice chaplain. I witnessed people transition from a place of great suffering, resistance, and pain to a place of release, peace, and sometimes even joy. In the midst of difficulty and fear, with patients clinging desperately to life as they knew it, there was often an observable surrender. And sometimes it seemed like the dying melted into the arms of a greater love, allowing them to pass on, often with a gentle smile on their lips. Now, I don't know what that is. If I could tell you with clarity, I'd likely have amassed a great following. There'd be long lines of pilgrims down Old Conejo Road wanting to know what I'd seen on the other side. But I can tell you that it was palpable on many occasions, and those of you who've come close to death or who've seen loved ones die may have a sense of this. And having been witness to that kind of surrender, I find myself more and more choosing to surrender to a love where all is well. Life simply seems more enjoyable when I choose that belief, the faith in all shall be well. But lest we get too comfortable thinking that we have no part in transforming the world, resting in our trust of the universe, all shall be well, doesn't mean that we stop working for justice for all, right? We too have a part in making life more trustworthy for all. That's what we do here together every week. After all, we are the hands of the Spirit of Life. We play a role in making things well for all. Indeed, when we feel secure in a deep trust and love for ourselves, then we may have more strength and courage to work for a better, more compassionate, more just world for all. So I invite us, my friends, to strengthen our faith in life, however you want to do that. As we navigate difficult times in our lives, experiment with the practice of saying, "All shall be well." Or sing the centering song that we sang at the beginning of the service, "All is well," even at times when you don't fully believe it. Play with the possibility of trusting life. Look for what's good, what's working. Experiment with the idea of being held in an all-encompassing love. And as you contemplate new directions, notice how it feels to operate from a place of trust. Write on our art wall about what you trust and what you gain from that faith in life. Engage in conversations with each other, exploring this idea of trusting life. I can't wait to hear what you discover as you experiment with this month. In closing, I wanted to share with you some words that I find inspiring by the English author and spiritual teacher, Jeff Foster. "I have come to trust life completely. Trust even the times when I forget how to trust at all. Trust that life doesn't always go according to plan, because there is no plan, only life. And even the times of great uncertainty hold supreme intelligence. And sometimes you have to fall to stand more fearlessly with greater kindness. And somehow, I am always held. I'm always held in a way I cannot explain and do not want to. I may be crushed yet again before too long. I may experience further seemingly insurmountable challenges and heartbreaks, but somehow I am always held. Somehow I am always held." We are held. My beloveds, have faith. May you be held. May you go lifted up. And may all be well. Amen.